John chapter 13. And I'm going to highlight two verses for you today. Verses 34 and 35 of John chapter 13. Are you with me? All right. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for this time we have together, the opportunity to connect with one another, but more importantly, in this particular service, to hear your voice, to let you know how much we love you, to worship you, to make much of you and of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he's done for us. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that works in our hearts, that convicts us of sin and of rebellion against you. And it gives us an opportunity to come back to you and say, Lord, please forgive us. We want to draw near to you. And Lord, what a joy it is to know that you are willing and wanting to forgive us. And so, Lord, we come today. There are many concerns on our hearts. There are some people that are hurting physically today. And God, I pray that you would surround them with your love. Bring some relief to the pains of their body. And may they find comfort in you. And then there are some others that are hurting spiritually, some that are hurting emotionally from things that are going on in their lives. Some traumatic events have taken place, or just crisis of finances, or whatever it might be. Lord, you know those needs. And when we are not aware as a church family, I'm so glad that you are willing and wanting to have your children come to you directly, boldly, and you will handle them. Father, help us as a local church to really love one another. Help us to care for each other's needs better. And so we ask to that end that you would give wisdom to our leaders, and that may we all share in this effort to care for one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Love is a popular word in our society and in our day and age, and has been for a long time. Songs are sung about it, movies are played. All kinds of books are written about loving one another or love for each other. The world is desperately seeking true love. There are all kinds of dating services, personal classifieds, bars, clubs, social organizations, websites, chat rooms, all people trying to pursue love. All of these opportunities promise true love or real love. Our world craves love, but they can't find fulfilling and lasting love. And in many cases, it's because they're looking in the wrong places. God has provided a place. It's really not a place, it's a community where we can express love, share love, and receive love as believers in Jesus Christ. God has established the local church as a place where we can live in community with other followers of Christ. In the Word of God, we don't see Christians living on their own, isolated from one another. We always see in the New Testament, once the local church was started, in Acts chapter 2, we find believers assembling, meeting, fellowshipping together, never off on their own like lone rangers. When we started our church 20 years ago, this church, it was my heart's desire to establish a caring church in our community. In fact, our logo at that time was a caring church in a growing community. Everywhere you looked, there were new subdivisions going up. And we just wanted to let folks know that in the midst of all this growth and the hubbub of everything, that we were a church that cared about the needs of people. That is still our concern. A church where people are genuinely concerned about and love each other. The local church is the training grounds where we learn to love God better and love one another. This is why it's so crucial that we all develop the habit of attending the local church. And here I am preaching to the choir, right? But I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that you have made it a priority, because it is very important to God. I mean, you look at the passages in the New Testament dedicated to the local church and what it should be like and how it should be governed, you find that the church is the heartbeat of our God. It is the place where we can connect, grow, and serve. We come to connect with God through worship and to connect with other believers through fellowship. We come to grow in our faith together. We come to learn better how to serve one another, our communities, and the world. So, we've talked about this matter of discipleship, or making disciples. In order to make disciples, we need to what, class? Excuse me, believers in Christ. What? Be disciples ourselves, okay? What does that look like? We talked first week about a disciple is growing and changing. We will never arrive this side of glory to full maturity, but we keep striving in our Christ-likeness. A disciple is willing to deny himself, to not go about his own will and desires and pleasures, but to take up his cross and follow Christ. Last week we talked about a disciple is a humble person, one who is willing to humble himself before God and others, and Christ is the supreme example of that. This brings us to today. Today we're looking at discipleship and loving one another. The big idea for today is this, no surprise. A genuine follower of Jesus Christ or of Christ strives to love other Christians. Now again, I use the word strives because that's our goal, that's our desire. It's not easy sometimes, but we strive to love other Christians. A genuine follower of Christ does that. And we learned that from our passage today, which we'll see in just a moment. The Bible, in general, and the book of John have a lot to say about love. The Bible uses the word love, or in its root form, over 500 times, from Genesis to Revelation. Interestingly, for our purposes today, and in this particular passage, we find that in the book of John, John chapters 1 through 12, the word love occurs only 12 times. All kinds of action is happening. But from chapters 13 to 21, the word love occurs 45 times. In the last 24 hours of Jesus' life, Jesus uses the word love repeatedly. The closer he travels toward the cross, the more love is on his mind and heart. And in John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35, Jesus suggests that the key to impacting our world is for Christians to love one another. Sometimes I wonder why the church in general, why the body of Christ is not making more of an impact in our world. I mean, the world is craving love. So where's the disconnect? Well, I think Jesus' key words here are something we all need to take to heart. I think that this church family is a very loving family. But we should never stand on laurels and say, we've arrived. We still have a long ways to go. We'll always have more room to grow. So the context here, right in the middle of his discussion with his disciples about what it means to be a servant, and his telling them that he's going to go to the cross, he's going to suffer, he's going to die, right in the midst of all of this and the betrayal of Judas as he's let go out the door on his way to betray the Lord, he gives these words that we need to take to heart. I'm going to read them again. I'll read them over and over again. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I loved you, you also are to love one another. Let's start with point number one. If you have your outlines there, let's follow along. Reasons why Christ followers should love other Christians. Why should you, as a Christ follower, as a disciple, love other Christians? Number one, because it is expected of you. Filling in the blanks, it is expected of you. In fact, number one, the subpoint there, it is a command. It is a command. A new commandment I give to you. It doesn't say, I give you an option in this matter of loving other Christians. It is not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's not like taking an elective class. You know, those of you that are still in college or those that have taken college, you understand between required classes and elective classes. Elective classes, you kind of pick and choose what you want, take them if you want, when you want, but required classes, you better take them. This is a required class. Love 101. It does not say love one another if they deserve it. It doesn't say love people that love you or that are like you. It doesn't say love one another if you feel like it. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Now you may say, Pastor, it's so simple. Why are you taking the time to spell out these things? It's because we don't seem to understand it. In our marriages, it would transform our marriages if we got a hold of this concept of loving each other. In our workplace, in our schools, and in the church, it will make a difference in all of our relationships. Love is commanded of every follower of Jesus Christ. Love is the duty of every disciple. So what does it mean to love? It's not talking about a feeling. It's talking about God's kind of love, agape love. It is seeking the highest good of others. It is others-centeredness. In fact, we've seen that again, Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus, and how it showed how He left heaven's glory on our behalf and became a servant. He took on flesh and He died, and He died a cruel death for us. That's agape love. If you want to see some specifics, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It tells us there some action words. Love acts patiently. Love acts in a way that's kind. Love doesn't envy. Love does not boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love is not rejoicing in wrongdoing, but love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That's the kind of love we're talking about. We're commanded to love one another. So who is the one another that's there? You say, well, Pastor, again, this is so obvious. I believe it's here talking about fellow Christians. Yes, we're to love the world. There's no doubt about that. But where do we begin to learn about love in its fullest? Obviously, we begin with Christ, but where do we begin to exercise it first? We begin in the context of the community of believers. We need to learn how to love there, and when we're doing it properly, it will impact the world around us, which we'll see in a moment. We have a responsibility to love, first of all, those of the household of faith. Of course, we're to love outside those outside the doors. But it begins right here. It's not something that comes naturally. It's something we need God's help with. In fact, I can't tell you the number of times I've interacted with people in this community and in communities where I've lived before, and even around the world, and I hear something like this: Pastor, if it weren't for people, this world would be a better place. Have you ever heard anything to that effect? If it weren't for people, it would be a lot funner to work in this particular job. I've even heard people say something to the effect, if it weren't for some people, I would like to go to church. It's kind of like them saying, I love God, but I hate the church. How can you do that? The church is made up of Christ-like individuals that are people that ought to be. They're God followers, Christ followers, and yet we say, I love God, but I hate other Christians. But unfortunately, that is the case all across the world. It's because we've allowed our own personal preferences and selfishness kind of enter into the picture. And we need to learn a lot more humility and other-centeredness. Don Carson, who has written a commentary on the book of John, said this, "The command is simple enough for a toddler to memorize, but it is profound enough for the most mature believers to be repeatedly embarrassed with how poorly they practice it." I find that rather interesting, isn't it? We teach our kids, love your brother, love your mom and dad, love the people in the world, love others. But then what happens sometimes? We don't model that like we ought to before our children or before one another. One thing I was taught many years ago as I was growing up in the church, and it has stuck with me over and over again, and now I try to remember to convey that and communicate it with others, is this. Whenever God gives a command, He provides the strength to obey that command. Do you believe that? If He wants us to make disciples and commands that of us, He will provide what's necessary for us to do that. It's the matter now of just obedience. And so when He says, love one another, He didn't say, now you're on your own. He has provided the Holy Spirit to enable us and to strengthen us and convict us when we're off kilter and to get back on track. In fact, you notice in John chapters 14 and 15 and 16, He talks about the Holy Spirit. And Christ says, I'm going away, but I'm going to have another comforter to come. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to have the Holy Spirit come, and He will indwell you, and He will enable you and teach you all things. The fact that Jesus commands us to love one another means that we can do it with His help. With His help. There are no excuses if we fail to love another believer. It means if we don't love one another, we're saying, I don't care what God says. Or, you don't know who I'm dealing with. You don't know my wife. You don't know my husband. That's a job to love them. You don't know the people in my world. No. Why do you think He gives us a command? Because He knows we're going to have a difficult time doing it. He says, it's going to be difficult. There will be people that will annoy you to death. But love them anyway. Love them. Love them. A preacher once asked his class, what do you do with the commandments in the Bible? Good question. One person raised her hand and said, I underline them in blue. Okay, but then he said, but then what do you do with it? What if we have all the commands in the Bible underlined, highlighted in red or blue or yellow, but we don't do anything about it? It doesn't make a difference at all. Here's a command that we need to follow. In fact, the second point under that first point, the second subpoint there, in fact, it's a new command. Notice what it says. A new commandment I give to you that you love one another just as I have loved you, so also you are to love one another. The command to love others, however, I want you to realize, is not new. In fact, if you were to go back in your scripture reading to Leviticus 19 and verse 18, in the law it says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So, what does this mean? What does it mean that when Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you? Have you ever thought about that? We know it's not new in time because long ago, He instructed us, love God, the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So it's not new in time or a new idea, because love has been important to God's people even from Old Testament times. But I think the phrase that is in that verse, just as I have loved you, is the key to the whole thing. In fact, John chapter 15, which was read earlier for us in the scripture reading, it also states the same thing. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for a friend. So, what is the newness that is being talked about here about this new command? I believe the newness that is being talked about is the new standard that he gives. Just as I have loved you. Jesus' love is the standard by which we must measure our love for one another. I believe if the Lord just gave us the words, go love each other. Come on, love each other. We could say, okay, I'm doing that. But when he gives us a standard and he says, I want you to love one another, and I want you to do it as I have loved you. Boy, that's a whole nother thing, isn't it? I can go around and say, you know what? I love people. I'm a champion. But do I measure up to God's kind of love? Ooh, I don't do that very well. It is one thing to love one another as we love and care for ourselves. It is vastly a different thing when one gives up his own life for another, or is willing to give his life for another, or is willing to sacrifice his self-interests for others. This rule, this standard of self-sacrificial, self-giving, selfless love is what we ought to be striving for in our lives, in our church family. This new standard is repeated throughout the New Testament. I won't give you every reference, but I'll give you a few. Jot down Ephesians 5:2 in your notes. Ephesians 5:2 says this, walk in love just as Christ loved you and gave himself for you. Ephesians 5:25, oh husbands, watch out. Husbands, love your wives. What does it say next? Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. I'll tell you what, our wives would not have as much trouble following us and loving us and just gushing over us if we loved like Christ loved the church. They would have no problems following our leadership if we lovingly served our wives and gave of ourselves like Christ loved the church. 1 John 3:16 says this, we know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. By way of application, I know that some of you in this room have come from backgrounds where you did not experience love at all in your families. In fact, it's downright sad and just makes me weep sometimes to think about some of the ways that some of your parents treated you. They did not show love to you at all. Some of you have been in abusive relationships. Some of you never really grew up with any role models in this matter of real, true, agape love. But I want to encourage you this morning, no matter what your particular background is, as we come to the Word of God, we can learn to love. The model is there for us. Jesus Christ didn't blow it like some of our parents did. Jesus Christ did not abuse us like some people in our lives. He gave of Himself for us, and that's the model for us. And we can learn to love others like Christ loved us. Growing in love for others is a lifetime process. If you're struggling with it, keep looking to the Word. Keep looking to what Christ has done. He is the standard and He is the model for us. Well, reasons why Christ followers should love other Christians. First, because we're expected, we're commanded to do it. Second, why are Christ followers should to love others? Because it demonstrates to everyone that we are genuine in our faith. It demonstrates to everyone that you are genuine in your faith. Notice verse 35. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Number one, subpoint. Love is an indicator. It is proof of your salvation. If you don't love other believers, then we have to say, are you a believer in Christ? Do you have the Holy Spirit living within you? If you have no desire whatsoever to care for others and love others in Christ, then there's a red flag that ought to be there in our minds. Love's absence is a red flag that a person's faith is suspect. We know that we have passed from death to life when we love our Christian brothers and sisters. Notice what it says in the text before us. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. This is not just a knowledge in our heads. It's a knowledge through experience. It's a knowledge by observation. If I'm loving my brothers and sisters in Christ, people know there's something different, that we're probably followers of Christ because He is the one that changes our heart. How do they know? Because Christianity, love in Christianity is action. Love in Christianity is demonstrable. Love in Christianity is visible. In other words, you remember the verse that Christ said, but God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated His love by doing something. If I told my wife, honey, I love you. Honey, I love you, till I was blue in the face, and yet I never did anything to demonstrate it, she began to wonder, what are you saying? Do you really mean it? And so you do things that you may not like to do, like dishes or sweeping the floor or making the bed or whatever. Do I like doing those things? No. In fact, I'd prefer to be doing many other things. But I do those things because I love my wife and because I also want that discipline in my life. I care about my wife. I don't want her to go under as she takes care of our son and as she carries on life and tries to keep me organized. I want to help her. I want to pull alongside her, support her. Love is action. Love needs to be visible. And it says in our text, all people will know that we're followers when we're loving one another. All people. Who's the all people? Who's that include? Huh? Pastor, you're being dumb again. Everyone. And I think in particular, maybe we could especially apply this, the world that's watching, our unsaved neighbors, our unsaved co-workers, our unsaved friends or classmates, when they see our love in action, knowing that it has to be something, they're not being selfish, they're reaching out, they're caring about one another, there's got to be something about this person. Because our love is being demonstrated. You see, love is not just a feeling. Love is not just something we talk about. Love is action. What are some of the ways that you can show love for your church family, for other believers? By spending time with each other. One of the things in our care groups that we have encouraged, we have required our deacons to do, is to get together with their care group at least twice a year. And so we're not saying that these are the only people that you're supposed to get together with, but at least twice a year, they're going to try to get together with you in some format, whether at church or in a picnic, in a backyard at their house or my house or whatever. Just call me up, deacons. Give me a little notice before that happens, all right? But they're going to try to get together with you. They're going to try to meet with you because they care about you, because we care about you. Spending time with other Christians is a way we demonstrate our love. We pray for one another. We serve each other. We meet the needs of one another. I'm so glad that there was overwhelming support. I didn't initiate it, but I would have, of the way you've reached out and loved on Bob and Betty, Pastor Bob and Betty. I mean, they've done so much to make this church what it is and loving. I just love you guys. And I'm so glad that the way you rallied around and said, we want to support, we want to encourage them for what they've done and stepping up when I was out of commission. That's awesome. That's a loving thing to do. Speaking the truth to each other. Saying, you know what, brother, I love you enough that I can't let you go off the deep end. I care about you. I've noticed you've not been in church for a while, and I care about you. And I want you to know that's going on. There's some folks that are not here today, and we are aware of that, and we're trying to love them the best we can. So please pray for one another. Pray for us as leaders, because it's sometimes, you know, if we looked at the attendance chart and we said, oh, you know, Bill, you weren't here last week, and I was coming over your house and say, hey, you got to straighten up your act. You know, there's a fine line between doing that or, brother, we missed you. Sister, we missed you. What can we do? Is there some need that we're not aware of? How can we help? That's the kind of attitude we want around here, that we love and, yes, hold each other accountable, but it's because we love you. We forgive each other. We speak well of each other. We resolve differences. We encourage one another. Being just a warm and friendly church, it's commendable. But we need to go beyond that to the point where we're willing to sacrifice of our time, talent, and treasures for each other. And that brings us to the second subpoint. Loving one another is a powerful testimony for Christ. It's a powerful testimony for Christ. Again, in our context, by this all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Tertullian, who lived at the end of the second century, said this. He said that non-believers said of believers, behold how Christians love one another. It made a difference. Even though they didn't care what the Christians believed, they just said, wow, that's something. Man, they love each other. That's weird. But you know, some people that have come in our church, one of the things that I find is I get a little note or I write them a note and say, how was your experience? Or we thank you, we welcome you to come back, or whatever. Most of the comments are, man, that was a friendly church. Man, that was great the way everybody greeted us. That's awesome. That's awesome. It's a testimony when we love one another to a watching world. The modern world is, again, looking for places where they can find love. If they don't find love here, where will they find it? We live in desperate times. Families are crumbling. Drug abuse is killing our young people. Immoral behavior is celebrated and championed, and it's brought in our home through all kinds of means, through the media. People are worshiping things and saddled by debt. There's so much going on out there, and how we need to have a place, a refuge, where we can love one another. Some suggest that the church needs to modernize, go with modern marketing techniques, and change things. Maybe I ought to just start swallowing goldfish, and we can do things and kind of, I can be up here in shorts or skinny jeans or, you know, in flannel. Maybe that's the way to do things. Well, there. So, yeah, maybe you'd like that, right? I would not like that, to be honest with you. Skinny jeans and me do not go together, okay? Yeah. But I tell you, you know, that's not the way we need to go. To just try to attract and entertain and all that kind of stuff, do something novel, something weird, something big. I believe one of the things that we need to do is just fall in love with our Savior more and more, love one another more, and then take that love that we have for one another and spread out into our community. I believe it will make a difference. Love can be the magnet that attracts the lost to Jesus Christ. We know that the Holy Spirit's got to do the work of conviction. But we can do some of those things, like loving one another, that will help in the process. May God help us to love one another more. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Very clear, a clear command, but oh, so difficult to apply. And so we ask, Lord, where there are changes needed in our life, where You need to uproot that selfishness and pride that we may have, or not wanting to be bothered by investing time in other people. Maybe we'd rather sit in the corner and read a book. I don't know. But Father, spur us on to love and good works. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.